Well, hello, WTIC. And Todd here with you on a Monday afternoon. So there's, you've heard of this thing called the Freedom of Information Act. It allows people, members of government, members of the public, media people, they submit these FOIA requests. You hear about them all the time, but you probably don't really know what they are. And I guess if you haven't done one or seen somebody's request, you wouldn't know. But it's quite remarkable. It's actually sort of inspiring because the government, even though the government is hostile to the idea of the public knowing what they do and doesn't like transparency, and they fight these things and try to find ways to make them too expensive for normal people to afford or whatever. But stuff gets out that's just remarkable. Joining us now is Kevin Rennie. He writes, he's on TV, he's on radio, he's doing everything, giving opinion and really insightful analysis of what goes on in the state of Connecticut. Former Republican state senator, state rep, joining us now. He's got a website called The Daily Ructions, dailyructions.com. Kevin, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
So I brought up the FOIA thing because you, of course, have some wonderful emails between the governor and his wife and the staff. Can you give us a little bit of background on these?
I filed a Freedom of Information Act request during the summer. I had heard and seen some indications that Anne Lamont, who is a powerhouse venture capitalist, largely specializing in healthcare, was very involved in the administration's daily activities. So I thought one way to find out is through a Freedom of Information request. And just before Thanksgiving, the office, governor's office, complied with my request. And I spent that weekend going through hundreds of pages of documents and came up with what seemed to me to validate what I had suspected, which was that Mrs. Lamont is very involved in the day-to-day decision-making and agenda setting of Ned Lamont's administration.
Okay, so this is exciting already because you're doing this sleuthing, and it's exciting because you're going to request these documents and then they appear like that, and you've got all this inside information. What was the general tone of what you received, and did you receive everything you requested? Did it feel like they were honoring the legal responsibility?
It did feel like they I was not worried about that. Some of the redactions may be, you can quibble. Of course, I don't know for sure, but some of the redactions may fall outside what's allowed under the exemptions under the law, but that's for another day. There was
okay.
Certainly plenty there. I will tell you, I did not worry that they would not disclose something that should be disclosed. I do think that Ned Lamont is an honorable man, and I don't think that he would.
Okay, you weren't worried about him deliberately withholding documents.
No, not true of every administration. And certainly, we had an instance in the Rell administration where there was quite blatant failure to disclose documents in the governor's office.
All right, so we've got about a minute, then we'll take a quick traffic and weather and we'll continue. But in the minute before we do that, can you just tell us about the flavor of what you received?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The flavor was they were really flailing about, and they still are in many ways. But it was not a smooth transition for that, a smooth launch of the administration. I think that they were not prepared, and I do think that by choosing a chief of staff and a deputy chief of staff who were not experienced in Connecticut state mm-hmm. government, which is complicated, that the governor made a mistake, and you really need someone who and every administration does, people who already know how to work the levers of government and are conversant with the many complications of Connecticut state government. One reason is we have ongoing financial problems, and we have union issues that make those problems almost impossible to solve. And I think that they were surprised at how little room to maneuver they had.
So they were unprepared, and bringing on rookie staff made it worse. Kevin Rennie is with us from DailyRuctions.com. We'll take a quick traffic and weather update break and then continue the conversation. It is. If you're concerned about Connecticut politics, you should check out DailyRuctions.com. Kevin Rennie is here. He's got a series of posts that you're going to love at Daily Ructions that reveal inside communications between the governor, his wife, and his staff. And Annie Lamont is the star of these FOIA requests that Kevin got his hands on. So tell us a little bit more about what you see reading these emails. What is it about Annie that's interesting? Why is she an interesting character, and why is her role in the administration interesting?
Well, she's an interesting character because she gets at least weekly briefings at least at the start of this, which is unusual for the spouse of a governor to get weekly briefings from the staff. She's involved in all sorts of personnel decisions and who should be in on making decisions. It's obvious she very much likes David Lehman, who's the Commissioner of Economic Development, and likes him involved in decisions. And clearly, she knew on tolls that they had made a serious that there were going to be serious consequences to Governor Lamont
for the betrayal.
For him dropping his pledge for trucks only tolls and changing it to toll everything that moves. And she knew that there would be a price to pay, and that price would mean that it would be more difficult to accomplish other things, which is true. And
yeah.
Oftentimes people will compartmentalize issues, but in the legislature and in Connecticut public life, that was such a big issue that it does affect his overall ability to govern in the manner that he would like. There was also, which I put up on Saturday, there was an email from Anne Lamont to staff members on a Sunday morning when Dennis House, who hosts Face the State, which broadcast at 8:30 on Sunday mornings on Channel 3, it's seconds after 9 a.m., she's sending an email saying he has a poll, he has a viewer poll on tolls, and she wasn't happy with it. And she said, can someone pressure them to change it? And I thought, geez, this is not, you don't have a venture capitalist investment in WFSB and Face the State. And also, the whole email is on my site. And people will see it, and it starts by saying, I know not many people watch Face the State. Well, first of all, that is not true. Face the State has great ratings, and in fact, I believe on some weeks it has more viewers than some of our local stations do on their newscasts.
Yeah, so, and it's certainly a very influential program.
Yes, because of the audience that it has. And she must have realized that or she didn't realize that, she just didn't like the question.
Yeah.
But it is unusual. I think you've observed government enough to know it is unusual for someone to use the word pressure in terms of the press. I mean, you can present a different point of view, but to say pressure, that has a completely different meaning. And you argue with people who are the subject of what you write or what you broadcast about, but pressure is just not something the government really has.
Well, it's something that reflects her outsider status and somebody who's used to using a little arm twisting to get their way.
Well, that's someone who is accustomed to having hundreds of millions of dollars at
his
disposal
right.
to get things done.
Yeah. So one of the things that stood out to me in reading what you have there in terms of these internal Lamont emails is that she seems to be the powerhouse, and that it looks like, the camera is kind of looking over her shoulders as she demands things from the administration, that she's kind of a driver. Is that your impression?
Yes, That is my impression. And I expect to be writing some more about what I've found, and I do think that that impression will become even clearer.
Ooh, good.
You know, here's the thing. She has been very successful in business. And one of the traps that people who've been successful in business, one of those traps when they get into politics and government is they think that because they were successful in business that all those skills are transferable to politics and government. And it just isn't the case. And you see it over and over again that they really misstep often when they try to bring the same ingredients of their wild success into from business into politics.
Well, one of the things that it seemed to me she and Ned didn't notice is that the staff was being overly deferential to her, and that when you have somebody, a family member in
when
there,
you have a spouse, it's just what do you do?
As a staff member, you mean?
Yeah, no. Well, when you have a spouse of a office holder who is very involved in decision making, it's and who doesn't hold a public position, how do you say to the governor?
That person's a pain in the neck.
Or you know, your wife, your husband's judgment's not very good on this.
Yeah,
it's hard to do.
It is.
And it can cloud the decision making process that may already be set up, although I don't think in this case it was. But you know, it can become an obstacle.
Sure. Yeah. Because people
thing that you have to consider that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the merits of an issue.
All right, Kevin Rennie, we've got 30 seconds left. Any closing thoughts on your impressions or whatever you want us to know?
I do think that. I like Ned Lamont, and I think it's important that this is not the only picture of the last almost year. And it's important to remember this. He has brought an important change in the tone of state government. He is not a surly, nasty, angry man like Dan Malloy and the people around him were. And that is an important change, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Okay. Kevin Rennie, it's dailyructions.com. Thank you so much for taking the time to fill us in.
You're welcome.
Great to talk with you. So there you have an inside scoop. Freedom of Information Act request. It is an amazing thing that a reporter can submit a request and the government agency or office is required by law to, and sometimes they follow that law and they fulfill the request. And to be able to look inside behind the scenes is amazing. It really is.